Good morning for those who are in the U.S., and good afternoon for the others. Thank you for attending our webcast. I'll start with some introductory comment, and I think the best would be for us to leave time enough to answer to potential questions. As you know, the manufacturing of commercial batches for the process performance qualification is forever for everyone a delicate state, which is subject to technical uncertainties. This is, of course, particularly true for gene therapy because of the inherent complexity and novelty of the manufacturing process. And when those risks materialize and issues occur, these uncertainties naturally have a direct impact on the development time, especially when you depend on the partner to execute the manufacturing, as is the case with GeneSight. Anyway, in 2020 and in the first half of this year, we had already encountered manufacturing issues, but they were related to the COVID situation and in particular to the restriction on the availability of manufacturing equipment and material that was imposed by the Defense Production Act. These problems then, earlier this year, led us to a first request to postpone the resumption of the day 120 clock stop in order to give us time to supply the PPQ data needed by the European agency. And indeed, we obtained and we announced this postponement with a deadline extended to January 2022. And then three such PPQ batches were due to be manufactured to meet the standards required by the regulatory agency. And after resolving the supply issues, we were able to resume the manufacturing of these three batches in August of this year at our production partner in Boston. That went well. All the stages of the manufacturing process took place as planned with good yield, except for the final filtration stage. During this step of filtration, we noticed the loss of a significant amount of viral vectors. This loss, which again was observed for each of the three batches, very similar, at the very same final filtration step, ultimately resulted in a quantity of vectors that was lower than the predefined specifications. As such, we immediately mobilized our team and those of our partner, of our manufacturing partner, to identify the root cause of this very, very unexpected phenomenon. Indeed, this filtration step has been reproduced several times before and has never posed a problem in the previous rounds. The investigations clearly demonstrate that the observed loss is linked to the very nature of a new filter used during this step, and therefore, the loss of this large quantity of viral vectors was due to a limited technical problem. The finding does not challenge the manufacturing process itself, which indeed is important. And with this, and with our manufacturing partner, we have decided to restart the manufacturing of three new PPQ batches as soon as possible by using proven filters to correct this observed problem. And these production runs will restart this coming December. At the same time, of course, since the production results of these batches are necessary to obtain marketing approval, we liaise with the European agency to inform them of the situation, to explain the remedies, and to request a further 9 months period to complete the responses related to manufacturing, including the 3 and 6 month stability data. This highly unexpected situation is extremely frustrating for our entire team, and it is also no doubt disappointing for all our stakeholders, including all our shareholders who support and trust us. We have collectively hoped for the smooth execution of our manufacturing, and above all, this will be a disappointing setback for our patients, who are, of course, placing their hopes on our therapy. Unfortunately, the risk of an unexpected issue in manufacturing is an unavoidable feature in the commercialization of an innovative and biological therapy. However, it is very important for me to re-emphasize the following 2 points. One, and first, nothing in the situation raises any questions about the manufacturing process itself. And second, of course, nothing in the results bears a relationship with the actual therapeutic potential of the MEVOC. We remain entirely dedicated and committed to the timely and successful launch of Lumevoc in Europe and to continue to push it in the US. I'll pause here and I'd like to take the question that you may have posted on the webcast. Thomas, do we have any?
Well, no question for now. You, as a reminder, you can ask your questions in writing using the chat function of the webcast. See no question. Let's give another 2 minutes, and if there are no questions, we'll adjourn. Okay, we have one question. What will be the financial impact of redoing these batches?
So the financial impact is going to be the price of those three additional batch. But however, this batch were three additional commercial batch were already scheduled with our partner, so there would be almost zero impact financially.
And to elaborate on that, we reported a runway to mid-2020. Today we are confirming this guidance as we expect the we've been quite careful when establishing this guidance in the first place, and we believe the impact will be marginal. So we will update the markets on any marginal change to this guidance before today. We keep it unchanged. Other questions are coming up. Do GeneSight have some product left for ATU purpose in France?
Yes, indeed. We still have a product left for ATUs, using a previous batch produced, by the way, at our partner in Boston as well.
What is the impact of this on the regulatory process in the U.S.? Have you met with the FDA for the pre-BLA meeting yet?
Not yet, and that of course creates a new situation where we will certainly continue to go for a meeting with the FDA before the end of the year to present the result of REFLECT and the comparison with natural history and get some clarity on what's next on the FDA side. However, we may decide that this is not going to be a pre-BLA meeting, but rather a Type C meeting, because as you know, pre-BLA meeting is only one-time meeting. There can't be two pre-BLA meetings, so we may not burn this ammunition and then prefer to go for a Type C meeting, knowing that this delay in the manufacturing is, of course, going to push also slightly the timelines in the U.S.
A question on timeline. Is there a risk that the EMA may decline to extend? Should the EMA refuse to extend, what would be the impact on approval timeline?
Well, I obviously cannot comment on the response from the EMA, but I think Given the good relation and the many discussion we have between us and the European agency, I would say it is unlikely that they would not consider our request as a rational one. I believe we have explained the situation. Again, I cannot predict what it will be. I doubt it will be just rejected as is. But I'm also confident that they may find a way for us to move forward smoothly within this 9 months period of time. So I'm very confident, and I want to certainly to thank our regulatory person, Bichot, who is handling this interaction with the FDA, with the European agency, sorry.
Okay, regarding the new filter, has your partner used this new filter for other products as well? And did they have similar issues of product loss with the new filter?
I obviously can't answer this question because we don't know for which customers our partner in Boston is working with. What I can say is those filters have been taken from a catalog of a vendor, who by the way is the same vendor of the filter we used before. So we will simply go back to the former filter we were using. It is not going to be a major change control. And we expect, again, this to resolve the situation. Again, I think it's important to emphasize this step, the filtration step that went wrong is the final one. All the previous step that leads to that are part of the production process went extremely well. We have identified the root cause. We proposed a very simple solution that we can implement very quickly. The process itself is not at stake. The process is up and running, and as I said, all the steps are doing very well. So clearly, I believe that we are there. The root cause is identified, remedies are taken, and I would like also to thank our partner in Boston, because I mean they have been really reactive on this to work with us and opening up for a very soon a slot to restart the PPQ campaign.
So we probably responded partially to this, but maybe be more specific. Can you comment on whether the yield before filtration was above, at, or below the previous yields?
I don't have the numbers close to me, but the yields we obtain before the filtration steps are consistent with the specification we have. They're consistent with what we have seen before. Obviously, we see variations, differences in the yield on the batch-per-batch basis, but those variations are limited. So we were within the previous observation in the previous runs, and the only thing that really went wrong is this filtration step where we identify clearly that during this step we lose a very important quantity of material.
A question on confirming the new expected approval in Europe now, the timeline.
Well, let's be honest and face this. We are requesting a 9 month extension, so that will normally result in pushing all our dates, the dates on which we communicate before, by 9 months. I think that's the most simple thing I can say, is that we ask for a 9 month delay. We'll make everything possible to reduce this, but let's go for this 9 month delay and push everything by 9 months.
So to be more specific, we were expecting an approval mid next year. That will be Q1 2023. Obviously, we'll be more specific as we work with the EMA, but that for now, that's the expected timeline. What else do we have? Beyond this manufacturing issue, do you plan to overproduce once approved to make sure there are no supply shortage?
Well, of course, that's the strategy we have put in place. And by the way, we're benefiting from this strategy today because we are using slots that were pre-reserved, pre-booked with Thermo Fisher for additional commercial batch. And we are now expecting to have additional commercial batch reserve by the end of 2022. So yes, our strategy is clearly to make sure that we have significant amount of significant number of doses to avoid any issue with any further issue with one commercial batch or the other. Remind you that we have a 3-year stability, so that offers us a buffer which is reasonable.
Well, one interesting question. Wasn't it a good idea to have to do two parallel productions, one with new filters, one with old filters? And there are additional comments around this question. What is the cost of manufacturing the 3BBQ batches? Could this cost have prevented launching also a production of PPQ batches with the old filters in parallel to the production of PPQ batches with new filters?
It is clearly not a question of cost or expenses. It is clearly a question of doing things right and doing things in a timely manner. If we run two parallel production, that is going to take us a lot of time and to take a lot of time at our partner, which obviously, again, we are not the only customer. We are certainly a very reasonable and very respectful customer, but we are not their only customer. So we cannot impose them to run six batches at the same time, which would not be very, very useful, by the way, because what we need is to submit the 3 PPQ batch data to the regulatory authority, not six with two different processes. Again, I think it's important to emphasize the fact that the decision we took is to use the previous filters that were reusable filters that need some, that, and the sanitization protocol has been put in place and has been used again and again over the runs before, never failed. So we are now getting back into this specific filters, and we don't see really any risk attached to this.
And we're not commenting on the cost of the batches, but the amounts are in millions. So the amount is significant. More specific questions, so we'll try to answer that as well. Since there is a risk that technical specificities of filter change, you may have to change the filter type down the line. Has the manufacturer of the filter provided any explanation as to how similar filters could have dramatic change in downstream yield?
No, and again, it is very difficult to know whether those filters are being used by others, under what operational conditions, and for what product. Remember that our product, in each gene therapy product, is different. Our product is using an AAV2 with a given transgene, with a given cassette, and a given construction. And so it's very difficult to draw any conclusion about these filters. They are filters that you can find in the catalog of the vendor, as the other ones. When we say the filters are at stake, it may not be the filter themselves. It may be the operational mode of usage of this filter that is not exactly the good one. So, again, the idea to avoid losing additional time to further define a new operational mode that will be okay with the new filters is really to go back to the previous ones that we know how they work, with which we have had no issues, and put this forward.
A lot of questions on the filter. Obviously that's the source of the issue, so we understand that. Do you know why the partner changed the filter? Was this decision made in consultation with GeneSight? I guess the underlying question is whether you might be able to recover costs related to producing the new batches from your partner.
So let me be clear. This change of filter was in large part due to the supply shortage. We decided to, because it would be more simple to get those disposable filters that in nature, in structure, are very close to the previous one. And this decision was taken in complete collaboration with our manufacturing partner. Both the quality assurance team at GeneSight and at our partner have met, they have reviewed this, and they have concluded, and that also includes external experts that we've been asking for, they all concluded that this was not a major change control, and that was likely not to give any issue. That was obviously wrong. Probably not necessarily because of the filter themselves, but because of the combination of the operational mode and the filter or whatever. But this is it. So we now go back to the previous filter that we used. But the process was correctly identified, and again, there was this old documentation that says that the QA teams on both sides do not find this is a major change control. That would have requested further tests, further definition of how it works, etc.
Okay, now we have some questions that we answered at the beginning of the call, but maybe for the sake of those who joined a bit late. Would this impact your cash runway? So we said no. For now, we are keeping the mid-2023 runway guidance. We will revisit this in the next few weeks or months, but if there is an impact, it would be marginal. We will report it, obviously, but for now, we don't expect a material impact, and we keep mid-2023. And again, we answered that, but it's important. What is the impact on the U.S. regulatory interactions and pathway?
So that we already alluded to. So that obviously introduces a delay in the U.S. pathway, as it does in Europe. So we are currently assessing whether probably this will decide that we'll transform the pre-BLA meeting in December into a Type C meeting, so that we get open the possibility to have a pre-BLA meeting, because as you know, we can only have one single pre-BLA meeting. So we're not going to burn this now if we have an additional delay. But it's important for us to still meet with the FDA, present them with the clinical data for REFLECT, which they have not officially received yet, and also bring the additional comparison with historical data that we believe are very important, and again, showing the efficacy of Lumevoc.
I think that is the end of all questions on the update of manufacturing for now.
All right. So if there is no any question, let me again thank you very much for attending this webcast, and tell you again that we remain extremely committed to the launch, the commercial launch of Lumevoc in Europe, and to pursuing the approval, market approval in the U.S. Thank you very much.